Good morning. My name is Thea, and I will be the conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the report on public finances and public debt for the third quarter of 2009. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question at that time, simply press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw the question, press the pound key. Thank you. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Warner. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you very much. Good morning. Welcome to the Ministry of Finance conference call on the public finances and public debt report for the third quarter of 2009. I would like to remind you that this call is off the record. Let me first go very briefly over some of the main macroeconomic developments that took place in the third quarter of 2009. We have seen that the Mexican economy began a process of recovery, as shown by the main indicators of production, employment, and aggregate demand. I mean, for example, in the May-September period, manufacturing exports have shown a cumulative monthly growth of 9.1%. Imported intermediate goods have increased 15.5%. Sales by stores affiliated to ANTAD increased during this period by 1.1%. Walmart sales by almost 3%. Imports of consumption goods by more than 10%, and imports of investment goods by 7.2%. Our monthly GDP proxy, the IGAE, from May to August increased at a cumulative rate of 1.2%. Industrial production from June to August increased at a cumulative rate of 2.6%. Automobile production, again, from June to September increased by almost 37%. The service sector from May to August increased by 1.6%. And employment from May to September, as measured by workers affiliated to the National Social Security Institute, has increased by 1%. So all of these indicators clearly show that the economy has started its recovery following what we have seen in other areas of the world, and basically following the industrial sector-led recovery that we are witnessing around the globe. We are expecting that the real value of GDP to have fallen at an annual rate of 6.4% in the third quarter, and this implies a quarter-over-quarter seasonally adjusted rate of growth of 2.7%. Turning to public finances, the results up to September indicate a public balance that is consistent with the approved balance budget for the year once we strip out Pemex investment. The public sector's budgetary revenues were 8.7% lower in real terms than the ones observed in January-September of last year. When we adjust by the oil revenues with the expected revenues that will be coming in at the end of November corresponding to the mark-to-market of the oil hedge, the budgetary revenues would have decreased by 5.7% in real terms from January to September. Oil revenues declined almost 25% in real terms as a result of the lower price of oil. Oil revenues declined by 24% in real terms as a result of the lower price of crude oil exports by 48% and the decrease in the export platform of 14%. These effects were partially offset by the reduction in the real value of imports of oil products of almost 40% in real terms. Non-oil tax revenues fell almost 13% in real terms vis-a-vis the same period of last year. This is January-September of 2008. Within these numbers, the value-added tax decreased by almost 20%. The joint collection of the income tax, the YETU tax, and the tax on cash deposits decreased by 9.7%. Revenues from public enterprises fell by 10%. Non-tax revenues were almost 250% higher than last year, basically associated with the exchange rate profits of Banco de Mexico and the resources we have used from the oil stabilization fund. During the first 9 months of the year, total public expenditures increased by 5% in real terms. Programmable expenditures increased by 10%, and within this, I think it's important to highlight that budgetary fiscal investment and foster investment by the public sector increased by 64% and 21% respectively. When you adjust for the fact that Pemex investment in 2008 was mainly done through PDRegas, and this year these PDRegas are included in the budget, our public sector investment is increasing at a rate of around 13% vis-a-vis the same period of last year. Turning to public debt, I mean, during the third quarter, we have continued taking advantages of the opportunities in international capital markets. And in that sense, as you all know, we reopened our 10- and 30-year dollar bonds for $1.75 billion transaction during the month of September. For domestic debt, the auction calendar was adjusted marginally to reflect the increase in demand for duration for our public sector debt, and we are transitioning slowly and prudently back to the auction calendar that we had prior to the financial crisis that started in October of last year. During the third quarter of 2009, public debt indicators show a slight decrease due to the seasonal accumulation of financial assets. Basically, federal government debt went from 26.3% of GDP in Q2 to 24.6% in Q3. Public sector debt to GDP went from 32.1% in the second quarter to 30.7% in the third quarter, and the broadest measure of public sector debt, the historical balance of the public sector borrowing requirements, fell from 38.5% to 37.9%. Mentioning some highlights of the approval of the income law for 2010. As you know, this was approved by the lower house on November 1st, albeit four items remain to be settled in the Senate. These are a change to the fiscal code, a change to the ability of the federal government to change tariffs, the transition for the increase in the tax rate on JEPs applied to tobacco, and the deferral for tax payment on spectrum concessions. The final approval implies revenues that are practically the same as those approved originally by the lower house on October 15th. The main changes that took place with respect to the original proposal, the one we sent on the 8th of September, is a moderate increase in the deficit from half a percentage point of GDP to 0.7% of GDP, a revision in the assumption of oil price of $5 from $53.9 to $59 per barrel. It should be noted that the increase is half the one observed in the spot price of the Mexican mix from the time when we submitted the budget to the time of its approval in the lower house. The substitution of the 2% contribution for a 1% increase in the general VAT and in the VAT applied at the border regions, a reduction in the rate of the new telecommunication tax from 4% to 3%, and the exemption of internet services, a halving of the increase in the rate that applies to beer, and a smoother transition for the income tax consolidation measure, an increase in the level beyond which the increase in the income tax rate applies for individuals. Basically, the proposal that the president submitted, I think in its change of the individual income tax, did not touch the range of wages from 0 to 4 minimum wages, and now that was extended to 6 minimum wages. In the fiscal reform that was approved, income from the revenue measures for 2010 totaled 136 billion pesos, more than 1% of GDP. Sum to that the adjustment on programmable expenditures that was included in the proposed budget and an expected increase in some energy prices according to the movements that will take place in international prices, etc., you get an estimated increase in revenues of around 1.4% of GDP. On top of that, if you add the 70% billion pesos of reduction in expenditures, you get something close to 2 percentage points of GDP. Several structural measures were approved as included in the original proposals, basically associated with fiscal discipline. The limits on the stabilization funds were eliminated. And also, if a deficit higher than 40 billion is proposed for 2011, then an adjustment would have to take place in 2010, equivalent to the amount by which the proposed deficit exceeds the 40 billion pesos in 2011. Basically, these to commit to a strategy of the declining deficit from 2010-2011, basically to go back to a balanced budget in 2012. Again, this proposal, as the one submitted by the President, guarantees that the debt-to-GDP ratios will go back to a declining trend after 2010, guaranteeing the solvency of the Mexican government, as has been the case in the fiscal policy that has been following the country for the last 15 years. Thank you very much, and now we can open the floor to a Q&A session.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone that if you would like to ask a question, to press star followed by the number 1 on your telephone keypad now. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. And at this time, I'm showing no responses. I'm sorry, sir. We do have a question from David Franco.
Good morning, Alejandro. Thank you for your conference. I just wanted to ask you about the price of energy services that the government has control. Is this something that will be observed in the following months? And if you guys plan to make a gradual adjustment in those prices, particularly in gasoline, in the obviously in the evolution of 2010. Thank you very much.
Yeah, as has been the case in the past, basically the adjustment will be gradual, and we will go back to the traditional policy in which mainly the price of gasoline will be adjusted, taking into consideration the difference between the local price and the international price, and the movements in the international price, in the spot price of gasoline. Taking those into consideration, we will basically decide on the rate of growth of the price of gasoline, on the monthly rate of growth of the price of gasoline, as we have done in the past, basically lifting the freeze that has been applied in the country since January of this year. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question will be from Paolo Cunha.
Hello. Alejandro, thank you very much for your comments. I have really two questions. The first one is about the inflationary implications of these measures that have been approved. If you would like to make any comments about that, I would appreciate. And the second one is a more general question, is about the output, potential output, potential GDP growth. Do you think that potential GDP in Mexico has structurally come down as a result of the strong cyclical movement?
Two things. Regarding the inflationary impact of the tax measures, I mean, obviously, this package is significantly, or its effect of inflation is much lower than the one we proposed when we sent the package to Congress with the 2% contribution and with the 4% tax on telecommunications. I mean, we're providing Banco de Mexico with the full information of the package, so that they, in their projections that they will be putting out, incorporate the inflationary effects of this measure, or they address the topic accordingly. I think in our previous conference call we talked about an inflationary impact of the president proposal of around 1 percentage point. I think this proposal has an inflationary impact that should be between 50 and 70% inflationary impact of the original proposal. Regarding potential GDP, I think that as has been the case in other countries in the world, maybe this crisis will affect the level of potential output, but obviously I don't think that the rate of growth in the Mexican economy has been a hamper. However, I mean measuring potential output and potential growth of the Mexican economy, of any economy, is extremely difficult, and in that sense I think that it is hard to assess to the extent that basically the main point here is that we will have we went through a period of cheap finance, significantly positively affecting investment and capital account and capital formation in the economy, and therefore positively affecting growth. And now we will move to an environment in which financing will be more expensive and scarcer than in the past, and this will affect the level of GDP. And I think that will be the case around the world. However, this only stresses the importance of accelerating structural reforms in the country. I think in that sense, the closing down of the electricity company Lucifuerza, it's a measure that has important implications from a public finance perspective, having a very important savings in net present value for the government. It has, I think, a very important effect as well on potential GDP growth, as you were mentioning, as almost 25% of electricity in the country was distributed by Lucifuerza with inefficiency ratios that are substantially much higher than the ones that our other electricity company, CFE, has. And therefore, I mean, when we move back to the efficiency indicators of CFE, this will have a significant effect on electricity distribution in the central region of the country, and therefore an important impact on potential GDP and GDP growth. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 at this time. And at this time, there are no responses.
Okay. Thank you very much. And we, as always, are open for any questions or doubts that you have in our investors relations unit or directly with us. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for participating in today's conference call. You may now disconnect.